Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 179, part 1, Hypocrisy. Today is Friday, Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2010. Merry Christmas. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, be my witnesses, tried faith, hypocrisy, and the spiritual flood is coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
Tonight's message is, of course, hypocrisy. Luke 12 and 1, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. I started to think here early in the week, what an age we live in of sham. Pretense is in full bloom, and I'm afraid few love the very naked truth. We can scarcely endure it in our very own houses. And I believe that man absolutely states it and actually goes ahead and states it is called a nut. But we do live in an age of counterfeits. Veneer furniture, you can take a knife and you can lift the whole top of that furniture off. Plastic cars, we were out, Mick and Lish, myself, went out to eat. And he says, see that car over there? That's all plastic. And if it gets hit, you have to replace this whole panel here or this whole thing here or whatever. Even the clothes you have on are made out of oil. Artificial foods, these foam ceiling beams, cardboard doors, you know, that's not a great big thing to put your fist through a door now. It's all cardboard. But I find no fault in this except as it is an outward type of an inward evil that exists. In other words, counterfeit has gained a eminence. It's everywhere. Greening, painting, gilding, they're sought after. But the counterfeits are so close to the genuine, it's hard to tell the difference. Plastic and foam and graining and photographs of wood glued to pressed wood. Silk flowers. And it's so hard to discern the difference. We are not so in touch as reality, I believe, as the dogs and cats and ants and whatever. They're more in touch with reality than we are. You're never going to see a bee hanging around a plastic flower or a dog burying a plastic bone. But many people in our age run after counterfeits in religious matters. And they'll go to all kinds of great big high-powered meetings to be seen and to see. And a lot of times it's all counterfeit. See, because many are concerned how they look outwardly. More than what's on the inside. See, the inward is the most important. That's what puts you to sleep at night. How you feel about yourself. That's what gives you peace. How you feel about you. What you really feel about yourself. But the sham age says, if it looks good, buy it. I want my preacher to paint a rose garden and fields of plenty. Let's don't talk about poverty. Let's don't talk about commitment. Let's don't talk about suffering, and let's don't talk about suffering for Christ's sake. I don't want any kind of conviction. I want control. And that's what we've raised up, a lot of controllers. Everybody's trying to control everybody else. That actually is the age, control. Kill all the cattle off. So they can't give milk, and you control the dairy market. And don't plant here, and don't plant there, and don't plant here, and how silly when people are starving all over the world. Well, see, these people over in some of these countries don't eat meat. Train them different. Give them the gospel. No, I don't want reality. I want counterfeit. People really want and seek after counterfeit. They don't want the reality of the thing. I want to create my own situations. I want to control my own situations. I want to claim all positive things that, as far as I'm concerned, I want to claim everything is positive, nothing negative. I want to study, I want to learn, I want to claim, I want to create. And I will involve God in my life, but only as an outward show. I don't want the truth to check out my veneer too closely. Now, if you're checked out real close, you'll find out if you're veneer or not. You know, you won't be around. Somebody will find out. I don't want anyone to check me out too closely. They might find out I have a plastic confession. I can't get in the heat of the fire because I might melt. Too much heat might melt me or cause my veneer to come unglued. And I think indeed we must learn how to say, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I think the minister may cease to preach this in the days of persecution, when men are burned at the stake, when men are whipped and tortured, when persecution is in full operation. Few men will be, there won't be hardly any hypocrites, because these are keen detectors of imposters. Suffering and pain and death for Christ's sake are not to be endured by mere pretenders. Pressure, things that come against your personal life or your personal ministry. Well, you know, if you'll stand in there, they'll pass. Say amen, somebody. Everything passes, yeah. But you have to stand in there, and standing in there, having done all stand, something will happen inside of you. Are you hearing this? But in a silken age like we have right now, and to be religious is respectable, and when to follow Christ is to be honored, and it's fun, and you can go to all the high meetings, and when godliness itself brings gain. Now preachers should cry out all the louder against this very prevailing sin, the worst, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now I believe every true child of God at times will doubt himself. Do you ever doubt yourself? I doubt myself all the time. You're suspicious of your own state. Now I believe the true Christian will sometimes suspect himself of falsehood. He will call himself a hypocrite and a phony and a sham. But he who is false will wrap himself up in a constant confidence of his own security and never point the finger at himself, but always at someone else. But I myself praise God for conviction and for change. And I praise God for the furnace to try us until we are full gold. Let's look at three things then tonight. First, the character of the hypocrite. Next, we shall try to cast up his accounts for him with regard to his loss or gain. Then thirdly, we shall offer a cure for hypocrisy, which if constantly carried about with us, will certainly prevent us from attempting to deceive. Here is the cure. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Now, if I've learned one thing in my ministry, it's to go ahead and confess your fault. I'll do that right from the pulpit. Why? I get it over, and it's on the radio, and everybody hears about it, and I'm done with it. And that's one way you overcome hypocrisy. Well, the world says, let the cat out of the bag. But actually, it's confessing a fault that will set you free. You won't be a hypocrite. You'll be able to go on in your particular ministry because you just put it out there, don't you see? Then it goes on and it says, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Whew. Let me say that again. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall be known. You can't hide anything. There's nothing you can hide. You try to hide it, and it gets worse. So number one, the hypocrite's character. I believe Jesus, he put it so perfectly in the 23rd chapter. A hypocrite may be known by the fact of his speech and his actions are contrary to one another. He says one thing and does another. You can tell him by his speech. Well, that'd be like going in and someone talks in French. Well, then you know they're from France. Or they talk German, so you know they're from Germany. Or they speak in Greek, so you know they're from Greecedom. Are you hearing this? You can tell them by their language. Well, they're usually scoffers. They're usually mockers. They're usually he-he-he's that go on in the church. They're tearing downers. Now, in my ministry, I've come up against scoffers. And they kind of have a little way about them. They hold their hand over their mouth and they whisper during church and they'll carry on and they'll tee-hee behind their hands and they'll look over their shoulder and so on like that. Those are the scoffers and the mockers. As Jesus says then, they say and they do not. See, because the hypocrite can speak like an angel. He can quote scriptures like a machine gun. He can talk on all matters concerning religion, theological doctrines, metaphysical questions, experimental difficulties, geographical settings, historical dates. He is a walking Bible dictionary. He's probably enrolled in every study that ever was. You may even feel uncomfortable around him because he might give you a pop surprise quiz on some scriptures while you're sitting with him. In Psalm 35 and 16, I read something that was really interesting. With the hypocritical mockers in the feast, they gnashed upon me, this is David speaking, with their teeth. These are, I believe, I'd call them professional buffoons. Who go around to the Pannekoekens and to the different cafes and they sit around at these religious feasts and they mock good men. The Bible calls them the accuser of the brethren. You know what? The accuser and the mockers and the scoffers and the slanderers have been my very best teachers. Are you listening to this on the radio? And you want to know why? It has taught me how to treat others when they come into a similar circumstance. Actually, the Bible says, all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, if you really believe that, and in my particular ministry, especially in my ministry right now at this particular time, my life, this has become the very great, and all through my ministry, the 14 years of it, I've always learned from the scoffer and the mocker and the hypocrite, especially when I'm in a tight place, because you see, I learn how to treat other people. Well, if you've been in jail, then you'll know what it is to be in jail, and you won't be so, how did it ever happen? What did you do? You know. But if you've been through those things, then you know from whence you speak. And so, when someone, the hypocrite, comes up, and maybe they're against what you're doing, or they're slandering you, or whatever, then when someone's in a similar situation, you'll know how to react during that thing. And such as the church is of today, a lot of silly mockers, and a lot of hypocritical mockers in the feast, it says in the Psalm 35. Whew. Also, this person is full of evil questionings. We were at the picnic. There were some 5,400 people that were involved in this picnic. And a man came up, he says, I heard on the radio that you were having this picnic. I heard it on KUXL. But I came here and I seen these P-Niners over here. What's going on? Well, I said, I want to hear this guy out. So I let him continue on. He says, have these people been led to Jesus Christ? Now there's 5,400 people there. You're supposed to individually go around and ask each one if they know Jesus as their personal Savior. Not let them go on. I just let them go on. Now, I thought to myself, now here is a real hypocrite. He heard it on the radio, and he's supposed to bring a canned good with him. He didn't bring one can with him. And he's already judging this thing, and he's only been here 2 minutes. I said, well, now, wait a minute. Dove has been ministering Jesus Christ through their music and through their testimonies. We have an acting group here that's done a real great job in ministering Jesus Christ through the acting. And I said, furthermore, for your information, the P-9ers that are there, I led every one of them to the Lord, some 200 at a union meeting. And half of them were smoking cigars. Now, what do you think of that? But they are so full of evil questionings. See, there's a type who goes around to his Tuesday or Wednesday night Bible study, and they sit around, and everybody's real religious, and they smack their lips, and they carry on, and they're sitting there, and oh yes, back and forth, and back and forth, but they're not really into the meat of the thing, don't you see? And so he looked around, and he kept looking around like, God, I could just read him, he's saying, these people are all sinners. And there's all kinds of people here. They don't look saved. And I looked at him and I was reading him and I thought, now you don't look saved to me. So I read him right and I said, you know something? I said, you know, when you get to heaven, I says, are you a sinner? He didn't answer me. I said, are you a sinner? Because he was looking around at these people like they'd had no right being there at all. Like they should be wiped off the face of the earth or something. And he was getting ready to say no. I said, before you answer, I said, you know Jesus came to save what? Yeah, that's right, I said. You're thinking in your head, sinners. He came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Well. I says, what's going to be in heaven? Well, there's going to be sinners up there saved by grace. You can't boast in anything. That shut him up. But you see, he was a hypocrite, and he went out of there a hypocrite. How many are hearing this? They're all over the place. And they kill more than they cure. But let's see him when he comes into actions. Now what do you see? The fullest contradiction to everything that he has said. Now he might say a lot in that Bible study. But when you see him in action, you see a very contradictory thing there. One that contradicts what he said. He tells others to obey the law, and he doesn't obey it himself. He can't. He sets goals, and he sets standards, and and he experiences that people must have that he's had. But he never measures up himself. And he'll always tell others what they must do. But he never follows his own advice. And so speaking to the elder or the Sunday school teacher or the pastors, is this the case with you? Do you tell others what to do and never follow through with any kind of work yourself? Oh, hey, preacher, people listening on the radio, if you're going to be defeated easily, then, go pray someplace until you get built up in the faith. The moment you start to do anything rather than just talk about it, well, then you're going to meet up with the hypocrites and the Pharisees. Maybe in the end they'll say, crucify him! Oh, but there's so many talkers and organizers and dreamers who could write books on how to do it yourself. Now I see some of you on the radio that are blushing even now. You're full of ideas, you're full of advice, thoughts for others galore, but all for others. Why don't you do this? Have you ever thought to do this? I never argue with that because some of the ideas that they have are fantastic. They're just too lazy to carry them out. It's the truth. Sometimes some of the sluggard hypocrites come up with great ideas, so you don't put it off because, hey, God can even speak through a donkey. Say amen, somebody. And so you listen to everything, and you weigh everything, and you take the good out of everything. But what it shows you is, you know what? I kind of had that spirit on me the other day of being a hypocrite, just like that. What a stink it is. And so you can learn from a hypocrite. Here's a guy that comes in and there's 5,000 plus people. And he's judging 5,000 plus people and he can only see one or two at a time. Oh my. Is your life a contradiction to your words? Do you really mean it when you say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God"? Well, maybe you'll be tested on that one. Do you really have, "You'll be my disciples if you give it all up and follow me"? Well, do you have that? Do your hands witness against your lips? And I hope there are some listening on the radio that can say, "Notwithstanding many infirmities, with my whole heart have I striven to run in the ways of the commandments of my God. Now, I have not intentionally spoken that with my lip which I did not intend to carry out in my life." Because talk is easy, talk is cheap, but actually doing the thing costs. I can't tell you what it's cost me to be down here on the north side. Well, it's cost me my life. To be here and to minister on the north side has actually cost me my life. It wasn't worth anything anyway, but I mean, it still costs me, see. I've come to the point of recognizing it isn't worth much. And I'm sure a lot of people will agree with that. But talk is easy and talk is cheap, but the walk is hard. See, speech any man can excel at, but action is difficult. To actually act out that which you have spoken is another thing. Oh yes, we'll attend to that right away. That's hard to do. I can always tell when someone says they're intending to do something, they get kind of a queer look on their face, like, you know what I mean? They don't intend to do it at all. So you got to have grace within, and it says in the Bible that God has made you willing in the day of His power. Well, a guy asked me outside, he says, "Why are you doing this? What are you getting out of it?" I said, "What do I have to get out of it? I got eternal life. What more do I need?" He says, "What are you getting out of doing all this?" These two great big trucks are humming out there. And these tons of potatoes are out there, some 90 tons, 90,000 pounds, I mean, of potatoes. "What are you getting out of it?" I says, I've gained my life. This is my life. "You mean these potatoes?" "Yeah, that's part of it." Dirty potatoes, they're not even washed. "Yeah," but he says, "what are you getting out of it?" I said, "Man, I've got eternal life. That's what I got out of it. Now, I really believe that, so I've dedicated my life to the cause of Christ. And that's what I got out of it, eternal life. Now, the life I live is not my own. I've been bought with a price, and this is what I'm doing right now. I'm handing out dirty potatoes. Next week, it might be tomatoes. But it doesn't matter, because I've given myself and I've given my life to this particular type of ministry because I've been bought with a price and everything you can see in the whole universe belongs to me. I don't have to take care of it, but it belongs to me. I'm joint heirs with Christ, don't you see?" How are you getting adjusted to this thing? You've already gained everything. What have you got to lose? I mean, if you lose your reputation, if you're slandered, if they kick you in the seat of the pants, whatever, what matters? Oh, don't feel bad. Get past feeling bad. Get past boo-hooing. You've gained the whole universe. You believe the Word of God? Well, the Word of God says, give your life to gain it. Well, hey, then let me give it all. What is there to give up? Oh, if there's a little speck to give up, give it up. Are you hearing this? See, we lip being holy, and that's easy to do. Just lipping it. But actually to get in there, now your only holiness you have is Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you're holy on your own, but I'm saying it's easy to talk this kind of thing, but it's hard to go ahead and walk this kind of thing. And so here we are tonight. I believe a true Christian is like the nightingale that sings at night. Do you understand? But the hypocrite, he'll only sing during the daytime so that everybody can see and hear him. Whip willow, huh? So everyone can see and hear him. And also, he'll guard his reputation like a skunk guards his den. He'll always raise the stink every time someone strikes close to home. And his standard, of course, is the opinion of his fellow creatures. What they think of him is so important. God, there's so many people. What people think of them is so important to them. It's what God thinks of you. See, because his law is the law of self-seeking and self-honoring. And he's virtuous because to be virtuous is to be praised. I'll be virtuous. I'll get the bowl haircut. I'll wear the black suit, and the little black shoes and the hoe and a little skinny black tie, and I'll carry my Bible and I'll be virtuous. And the reason he's that way, the reason he's virtuous is because he gets praise on being that way. What a virtuous man you are. And he's really seeking praise. Even worship. People can even seek worship. And so they're virtuous, so people will worship them. But it's hypocrisy. It's an outward shell. It's a sham. Now, I know a lot of people get convicted in a message like this, but I'm not saying you're entirely that way. We all have a little of hypocrisy in us. But I'm talking about the full-blown skunk. Know what I mean? Skunk, I mean, that raises a stink every time somebody gets close to his den. But see, if tomorrow's vice were at a premium, he would be as vicious as the rest. And you know, applause, I believe this, is what too many are seeking after. And myself, I'm afraid of applause. Well, I haven't had a whole lot here lately, I'll have to admit. The only applause I've had is five fingers across my face most of my life. When a hand meets my face, that's been my applause. I think I was born to have my face slapped. I ain't kidding you. I'd like to have a movie of all the times my face has been slapped. Whoops! 9,014. Whoops! Are you hearing this? Applause! Well, I'm not saying it's all bad to have somebody applaud you, but hey, if that's what you're waiting for. But anyway, if God has us to feed the poor, do we only do it twice a year? Maybe Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas or something like that when it's popular. Or do we pick the area? Or do we send out care packages? Let's deal honestly with ourselves. Do we ride the glory train, but when it comes to riding down in the secret train into the valley, do we jump off? I was wondering about all this and pondering about all this, and God brings encouragers, doesn't he? And this gentleman come up and he says, "You know what? That the people all over this whole north area, I mean," he says, "I'm talking about the whole north area and suburbs, have a real respect for disciples' ministry." And I thought, well, now that's a real good word. I needed that word. How many know we need words like that? Yeah. Mick started asking people for funds, and a check came in from somebody, I don't even know who it was, for like $500. And you know, that's just the beginning. You listening on the radio out there? That's the beginning. I mean, you're always looking to get in on something that's going to take off. This is taking off, okay? It's already took off. See, and it's going to come out of the valley because it's went as far down in the valley as it can go. See, a valley means there's another, you got to go up somewhere. How many are hearing this? And so you enter into the valley, but then you got to start to go up. And so now we're on the upswing, okay? I mean, don't get defeated. Sometimes people think the glory of God is 9,000 people with their arms raised up in the air, saying, "Praise the Lord," and holding and swaying. Oh, how we love Jesus. And they smile at one another. Da, 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 da. Huh? Well, to me, there is nothing more sickening than 9,000 Christians holding hands, lifted up over their heads, and singing that song when they ain't doing nothing. Say amen, somebody. I think that is a stink and a stench, and they'll probably spend $5,000 to stand in one of these great big old explosion deals and go back and forth saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And they're not even listening to what Jesus has to say. And if any persecution comes their way or any kind of slander comes their way, they're booing, hooing so loud they hate the Lord with all their heart. God, what are you doing to me? I'm telling you the truth. And they'll argue with God and they get mad at God. Say amen. See, the Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you don't obey me, if you're not for me, you're against me. That means you hate me. Oh, are you against Christians singing, 9,000 of them swaying in the wind? Well, yeah, I am. I said it and I'm glad. Yeah, I'm against that when people aren't doing anything. You know what I mean? Oh, but I just felt the Spirit all over my whole body. What kind of Spirit? What kind of Spirit did you, the Spirit of fellowship and fun? One guy was working for me down here and he said, "Well, I didn't come in because I wanted to go fishing. I got to have some fun, you know." Well, I says, "Go on out and have another day of fun." Well, I don't want to have fun now. See, contrary. And that's what it is in the body of Christ right now. It's contrary to what Jesus preaches.